Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special pre-Phillip Island show. Boys, how good's this, huh?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Boys, down on the Monday.
We are down on the island here very early, which is very exciting.
I actually think we're the first people on the motorcycle people on the island.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, besides the
MotoGP. More committed than the riders, I reckon.
Oh, always have been.
We got a few interesting looks at in town today, so that was good.
We got approached a few times and we were saying, oh, you boys in here for the motorcycle riding and is Valentino Tosci still racing? Number 64? Yeah, mate. Yeah, mate, he's racing.
He's still getting around.
He's still getting around.
We had a guy come up to us at the shops and he's like, oh, Moto Haven, I bought all my stuff off Moto Haven. I was like, Moto Heaven? Yeah, that one.
Yeah, they're good guys. I bought everything for me Aprilia Tuono, took it out on the track, first session, wrote it off. I'm like, all right.
Poor guy. At least it didn't blow up.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, at least it didn't do a Brichali, that's for sure.
Yeah, true. Just the headphone volume just needs to go up a little bit.
You number two?
I'm number one.
Jesus.
Jeez.
Thanks, sorry. Yeah, that's perfect.
Placebo effect.
Didn't touch it at all.
Yeah. Boys, I'm going to get straight off the bat here. I've got some very special questions to ask. And I think for everyone coming down to the island over the weekend, we just wanted to share some of our favourite moments and, you know, our suggestions of where to go and those sort of places. So, boys, a couple of little things. I want to know your favourite Phillip Island moment, both at the track and out in town.
Daniel, you can go first.
Out on the town, maybe last year, Supers. Or was it this year, start of this year?
Supers. It would have been the start of this year.
On the Sunday night.
Yeah, that was
pretty good. Rubbing shoulders with the stars, partying with the likes of Iannone and Gerloff and all those kind of.
More like Iannone's missus and then Iannone on the side.
Well, exactly right. You know, talk of the town.
Yeah. And Vandermark on the darts.
Slick Rick Vandermark with all about freaking 2 pounds of hair gel.
Yeah.
That was wild. And Troy Corsa getting around.
Yeah.
Creeping.
Yeah, he was Corsa was his fucking finest day. It was his finest hour.
It was. And then having a few shots with Yari Montella.
Shout out.
That
with
was
his uncle or something like that.
His uncle was here. Yeah, it was pretty funny. That was probably highlight for nightlife. That was pretty fun. Just a good night with the boys, I think.
Yeah,
and first superbike for you guys, wasn't it?
Yeah, first for you.
I've been a few times.
First since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Used to go a few times when I was a kid. And a favourite on-track moment?
It's a big one. This is a big one.
It is. Favourite on-track moment. 2008 was my first time here. So maybe that, watching Rossi. I think he had a penalty and he had to start from last.
Oh, really?
And he carved through the field and ended up finishing second.
No shit.
To Casey and then Nicky Hayden third.
That's a good podium.
Yeah, it was real cool to watch. And then I met Simoncelli the night before he won the race here as well down at Pino's. So watching him come out on the 250 and win.
That'd been pretty cool.
That set him up for the next round to tie up the championship. So 2008 for sure would be my favourite on track moment.
That's really cool.
Just seeing all that go down. It was pretty good racing. So
I love it.
A young kid and, oh, my God, it's Rossi. Oh, and probably watching Rossi lead the first few laps on his 400th Grand Prix here in 2019.
Yeah, that was huge, wasn't it?
Man, I was up in Siberia and on the siding lap, the crowd went nuts when he came around. And then the first two or three laps that he was in front, people just lost it. And it just shows and speaks volumes of what he's done. So,
oh, for sure.
Yeah, it was pretty wild too. Yep.
Yeah, wow. I'll go next, I suppose.
Go on.
favorite night moment. James and I reminisced a bit today, actually. We had this crazy scenario in 2018, Gizzy?
Yeah.
2018. So I'm
a bit blurry.
I'll paint the picture. So we went out to the track all day. It was Saturday night. So like this is creme de la creme.
Biggest night of the year.
We come home, I'm necking beers, like I'm necking them hard.
I would say between, we get home, it's to say roughly 3.
Mm. We like getting home pretty early.
Between 3 to 6, there was probably, Oh, I'd say for me anyway, and this is a lot for me, it's probably 8 beers.
Yeah, I would have.
And that's a lot for me.
Yeah, I would have done. It would have been a 6-pack plus some.
Easy for you.
Easy. And easy. We get to Isotola, which is a restaurant on the very corner of Cowes, and we're lining up. And they're like, oh, do you want a drink while you're waiting in the line? And I'm like, yeah, all right, we'll have a pint of Peroni, I think it was.
Yeah, it would have been.
So we had one of them line. We're still waiting, still waiting. We're trying to get a table for like 12 people at this point. So like it was pretty tough. Second pint, down. All right. I'm paralytic at this point. Like I'm young boy here. So like this is back.
But
back.
You've always been to put them down as well.
Yeah. I have. But like this is like. The second pint just pulled me over the edge. And I'm sitting there. For some reason, I ordered squid ink pasta. So it was black. Like, it came out. The bowl was black. And I'm looking at the bowl and my head's nearly in it. My head is seriously nearly in it. And I'm just shoveling it into my mouth. People are talking. I'm normally a very social person, as everyone knows.
He was quiet.
But I can't see a thing. Like, I am just trying to eat just so I can get back to some sort of normality. Yeah. Anyway. May have had another beer with dinner as well.
No, you would have easily.
Of course I would have had another beer. So I'm talking 3 pints at this point, plus probably a 10-pack. Anyway, we get to the hotel, which is one of the two big pubs in town. It's one of the better ones. It's only two. So we go in and we're lining up for having a drink. And I'm like, out of my corner of my eye, I'm like, fuck, that looks like Shane Van Gisbergen. James and I, I'm like, nah, hang on. James is like drunk himself. So he goes up to him, hey, mate, are you Shane Van Gisbergen? Like as a joke. Like
I didn't think it was actually him.
We didn't think it was him. And he was with Scotty Pye, really good mates and good podcast Scotty Pye does. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we're partying with them all night, drinking, fucking dragging them upstairs to the club. And like it was a point where James and I always went out with James's dad's mates, and it was that point in time where it flipped where they were coming out with us.
Yeah, nice. Yes.
And it was like a boy going to a man, okay? I don't know how we got home that night, and it was just a crazy night. We messaged Gizzy the next day. He was messaging us back, if you're ever going to come to the fucking call me, because he had such a good night, whatever.
We're giving him shit, but he was loving it.
But everyone was like being so nice to him. We were like giving him shit. And like, and then, oh, just to add to it, we're dancing downstairs. Scotty Pye is like dancing over there. I'm dancing with Gizzy, with James, whatever. We have one of HJC, Stacey, also dancing with us from HJC, special shout out. There's a bridal party. Okay, we're talking 20 chicks all dressed up in bridal gear out the front coming in. I turn to James. James turns to me and goes, what the fuck? And all these chicks walk in. And then fucking Scotty Pie's dancing with him over here. We got fucking Gizzy. James's dad fucking talking about himself.
Road racing chair.
He would have gone to every single one of the girls and goes, girls, you know between me and Troy Bayliss, we've got 2 world titles. 3 or whatever it is.
So... it was
just
an amazing night, and we'll live down in memory. There's a close second, which I'm hopefully you'll choose, but yeah, crazy night.
Well, one other thing that happened that night is SVG goes to me, and I didn't know who Scott Pye was, and no disrespect to him, I just had no idea. And he goes, oh, I'm like, who's your mate? And he goes, oh, Craig Lowndes. And I go, I know that's not Craig Lowndes. And he's like, nah, it's Scotty Pye. And I'm like, who the fuck is that? So his face. I'm like, oh, shit. I remember waking up the next morning and go, you fucking idiot.
I'll just add one more funny thing to that story. We had this guy like leeching on because like this random guy leeching on. Like he was just, you know, that guy at the party who's just trying to come in. And he goes, boys, I'll buy you a beer. What beer do you want? I said, oh, mate, I'll grab a 4 pints. You know, 4 pints?
Yeah.
The guy walks up to the bar, okay? He walks up to the bar. He goes, 4 pints, thanks. And the guy, 4 pints. So instead of 4 pints, the guy serves 4 pints. The guy gives him 100 and gets 2 bucks change. He's looking at the 2 bucks. He goes, what the fuck? He turns to me, I grab all 4, and he walks. He never saw him again. I'm trying to neck one. Gave one to Dave. Gave one to fucking Gizzy. I was trying to give one to a random bloke. The guy who even ordered the drink, I don't think got one. Fuck. Like, he's probably one of our fans now. But
shaved him.
Yeah, he got shaved.
Completely and utterly shaved. And like, look, I would never, I don't like a good shaving as it is, but like, yeah, he got shaved hard, unfortunately.
That was funny.
That's ultimate power move.
That was ultimate power move. And I always feel like, I don't feel bad, but it's a funny story.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a quick reminder, we are proudly supported by the great team down at Moto Heaven. They are absolutely unbelievable to deal with. And if I were you guys, I'd definitely head over to their website.
Yes, you never pay full recommended retail price at Moto Heaven and free delivery for any order over $100.
100%. And they've got the best, most usable website in the whole motorcycle industry. Dare I say the world. They got parts finders. You can chuck in any bike you want. If it's a gold KX250 or an R1, you can find anything you want. Helmets, they got everything. Head to motoheaven.com.au where you will get everything that you need. That's a guarantee.
Do it. Okay, so on track moment. Now, this is a weird one because James and I always sit, well, we always sit at turn one for the race. We love turn one. It's our favorite spot. Like Daniel, your favorite spot, Siberia, everyone has their favorite spot. So this year was weird. We fucking got there late. We're hungover as hell. This is 2015. Crazy race, as we all know. And we watched it in front of the big screen in the front straight, which is the most unmotorsport Republica place to stand, sit and watch a race. But the race was so crazy. Everyone got up and about. We were like jumping up and down. We came saw them coming down Lukey and MG and like around turn 12. And then we watched the rest on the TV. It was just one of those crazy moments. For me, it was like such a good race and probably didn't matter where we sat that day, it was, would have still been a crazy experience.
Yeah, nice, man. That's sick.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
I want to know what your second is because I don't know what that is for a night out.
2014, James and I'll just take James's story. I mean, I might have this as a special mention. We're partying. We go out. Like this is when we were young. We didn't really party that much. We went out and we were drinking like shots or whatever. And then these two hot chicks walked in, like Jägermeister chicks, and they put the Jägermeister necklaces around
our. That was a good one.
That was a good memory.
Any luck?
Nah, bro, I didn't know what it was back then. What are you talking about?
I'm scared.
Yeah, I'm scared.
I remember from that night I was going up to everyone in the toilets. I was so fucking pissed that night. And I go, Mark Marquez, mark my words, he's going to Suzuki. I made the whole pub known that he was going to Suzuki. I just had this thing for that night for some reason.
Yes, James, this is your dad. Yes, James, this is what James, tell everyone, James, tell everyone what were you saying? Tell everyone what you saying.
Exactly. I can imagine that too. That's a good impression.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, you see? You're
going to get the hand going. Yeah, right?
The more Dave drinks, the more it gets floppy.
Well, that's like all of us, but you know what I'm saying?
We're talking about his hand. But yeah.
Yeah, that Jägermeister night was, was 24. That was probably the first night
we went out, really, yeah.
Because we're 18, so 2013, I just got my license and I drove down. I used to live in Sydney by myself and then we went out, but you got stuck at work. So 2014 was probably the next best one for a big night out. That was the night Tom and I were drinking VB Stubbies.
For some reason, we're
just drinking VB Stubbies the whole night as like 19-year-olds. And we're walking up the main street of Cowes and Tom doesn't break stride, just projectile vomits like 7 feet all the way up Main Street Cowes. So, this one, I don't know if I should tell this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It was when I was I was a bit younger and I can't remember what to say. We might have to edit this out. We're in the dance floor outside.
No, Jim, you can't tell this one. No.
I'm going to say
it. I think I know which one it is.
And I was on Tom's shoulders for some reason. And then I think I got off or I was still
We're outside where the podium is.
Yeah.
And there's a live band.
Yeah, where the concert thing is. And there was this attractive girl And I started talking to her and I asked her, so how old are you? I was on Tom's shoulders, actually. And she's like, oh, 16. And I fell off his shoulders and landed on my face in the middle of the dance floor. And I was like, okay, we're going to get out of here. That was probably one of my favorite moments.
That was a funny moment. The pub's awesome, but that outdoor area with the live music.
If it's the right vibe, it's really good.
You're right, it's hit and miss though. Hit and miss.
Oh, yeah, that was messed up.
Favorite on-track moment?
Favorite on-track moment, I reckon, is 20... the year Rossi beat Lorenzo, I think, was 2014, where they were both on the movie star bikes. Marquez crashed out of the lead at Honda, and Rossi passed Lorenzo for the win at turn one, and that was right in front of us, and we were sitting there, and the place went
wild. That's 2014, isn't it?
That was 2014, and the place went wild. So I think that was my favorite. That and then probably my first ever time going as a kid. And I remember my first person I saw actually at the track was Casey Stoner riding by in the wet on a KTM 125 two-stroke. That's how long ago it was.
That's sick, man.
Yeah, so.
That's very cool.
That's 2004 was, I think, my first year.
Yeah, I remember
2003, sorry.
John Hopkins was on. Was John Hopkins ever on a Kawasaki?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my first year. I remember that. Because I had a poster of John Hopkins on a Kawasaki back in the day.
2007 or 2007?
Yeah, something like that. I think you're right, 2007.
2007, 2008, I think.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was definitely easily my first memory anyway, as a side note. But
yeah, awesome, man.
Now, the other thing is we've got a lot of questions about this over the last week or so, is where we're going to be over the three big nights of...
Oh, nights. Oh,
I was going to say, we don't know if we're going to be there yet.
No, we're still waiting for our accreditation from AusGP from a level of ticket we're going to get. But that's fine. Save the best till last. That's all good. Where we're going to be at night is the big thing that we've had the questions about. We're going to be in the back of the paddock, obviously, during the day. We'll probably go to turn one. We normally do like a nice walk around the track on the Friday. We might not do that this year. We'll see.
See
how busy we are.
We're going to meet up with River Cold Snipers as well.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Keen on that.
So we've got a few things, a few garages to visit, a few people to see. But where we're going to be at night. So we spend most of our dinners at Pino's. It's our favourite restaurant on the island, would say.
Yeah, easily.
Easily. Then we normally walk down, have a couple of beers at the hotel, see what the vibe's like.
Well, the hotel has been rebought, you're saying, today.
Yeah, so the Hotel Phillip Island used to be the place to be. Like, it used to be the live music downstairs, the DJ upstairs, creme de la creme, you know, where you want to be. Now, the new pub, the North Pier, has sort of taken that over.
And it's been good the past few years.
Yeah,
remember we saw that punch, we won't say who it was.
Yeah.
Our prominent Australian motorcycle riding figures.
Yeah.
But there was I think they got glassed, didn't they?
No.
Did they get glassed?
Yeah, the poor security girl got bloody crazy. Like, she got the worst punch I've ever seen.
Oh, my God, that was wild.
She got sent home in an ambulance or something. But, yeah, the North Pier is probably a little bit more, teeny bit more sophisticated, I would say, where the hotel might be a little bit rougher, but...
I think the hotels is a younger crowd.
Yeah,
appeals to us a bit more.
So we'll be at the North. We'll be at both hotels.
We'll be at both.
But the big thing this year, guys, is the Sunday night. We didn't realize over the 10 years we have been coming here that how big Sunday night is.
Oh, I'm always written off. And I'm not a big drinker. That's the problem. This is my main weekend
downfall
for drinking. Is this weekend?
Yeah, so I am a big drinker. So yeah, I'll be fine.
You can put them away. As you said.
But, yeah, so Sunday night, guys, the Riders after party at the hotel is where you want to be. So we'll see you there, definitely. Fucking even Briscali's going to have a few Peronis in him, you said?
We'll see. We'll see.
He's finally tuned athlete these days.
Curtis
not like you, mate, running marathons.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into that segment, don't worry.
Curtis is going to have his first cruiser, I think, he said. So that's pretty cute.
Yeah, I heard that as well.
That's pretty cute. he's given me the – he hasn't even liked this thing, so he has no comeback, which is good. He'll come on my back later, but you know what I'm saying?
What happens in Phillip Island stays in Phillip Island, boys.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. So yeah, that's about it for that one, boys. Yeah, that's about it from my end. I had the another thing, guys, Cafe Lugano, for probably the best breakfast spot on the island, voted by us. We all think that's the best breakfast spot if anyone's asking.
I like it.
Cafe Lugano. We went there last year.
Yeah.
Good coffee.
Absolutely.
There's some fucking bad food on the island. There's some. It's hard to find good food. So yeah, Pino's, Cafe Lugano.
Good Chinese wing hoes.
Yeah, China. Like if you want bright, fucking really bright, your lemon chicken and like really
flaming
sweet
yellow chicken.
And if you want really sweet honey chicken, like if you want the Aussie Chinese adventure, then yeah, Wing Ho's. Definitely not Win Lock. Win Lock, no good.
Not to be confused.
Not to be confused. Somehow they're both named Wing. I must be like had a feud, the brotherly feud. They own two separate restaurants on the island.
It's like a shitty chicken and the sushi.
Yeah. Shitty beef.
Shitty sushi.
Yeah. But yeah, that's about it. James, on my segment.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I like it, man.
What are you guys looking forward to this weekend?
Just the racing and
how many beers? This is what the fans want to know. Is how many beers and how much alcohol do you reckon? Because T-Shav represents both of us.
He does,
drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially this year.
Especially, yeah, yeah.
So today I've already had a beer at the pub.
Yeah.
I've already had a beer at Pino's, but only two.
You've only had two.
Yeah,
that's but you're easing yourself into it.
Yeah, easing into it.
Yeah, I'll probably have a glass of wine before bed tonight. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, we're just going to be easing into it. Thursday night, maybe a little fucking pep up. You know what I'm saying?
Ramp it up a bit.
Ramp it up a bit. Get it going.
Yeah.
And then Friday night, ramp it up a little bit more. Saturday night, probably the same as Friday. And then
Sunday's where we're at.
Sunday's going to be fucking, yeah, hallucinations.
So what's the number? We're putting a number on?
Let's just say beers.
I'll try and keep a tally.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Let's just say drinks.
I'm going to say probably like 60.
Yeah, I was going to say 55, 60 yeah. for you.
Yeah. So two. All right. Two down.
Yeah.
58 to go.
But I reckon you're telling fibs though. I think Friday you'll be really creeping up. Saturday, big Superbike Shaw is going to be in his ear.
Oh, he's going to get, yeah.
You're going to be flatlining.
He won't be buying me a beer, but he never does.
You're going to be flatlining for 2 days. You're going to be going hard for 2 days, yeah. Saturday night, Sunday night.
The amount of hangover medication we've got fucking here is insane.
This is
you got the bee juice or what, bay juice?
Bay juice. Yeah.
You got it again?
He bought a slab.
No way.
Bay before you play, baby.
This is when you know you're getting older. When we, and you know, this is like when you go out anyway, when you're 18, Daniel, you'll know. Like you'll go out the night and then like the next morning you just, we'll bounce and we'll be back on track at 8.
Yeah,
I can't do that these days. I'm cooked.
Oh, no, I'm with you.
The other thing is like, man, when I'm hungover, I don't want to talk to people. And like we're going to have to talk to people. So
we've got a podcast.
If I give you a cold shoulder on the Sunday at the track in the morning, you know, it's not
personal.
You're talking into my old man.
It's nothing personal. He's just had a few too many drinks.
I'll have a hair of the dog Sunday morning, so I'll be right.
Ooh, that's rough.
Mm.
I remember, I think it was 2015 or something. We had a photo together, or 2014, and we're in like Ducati polos for some.
Oh yeah, that
reason.
Was earlier, bro. I think that was like
it was 2014.
14, yeah.
And I vomited like that whole night. Oh, I was so rough. That Sunday morning, I felt disgusting. And like you just gotta just somehow pull through. I don't know how you do it, but
you just have to. And like it's the weekend to do it. It's and the other thing is, as soon as you hear those engines, like it used to be the two strokes, Moto 3, 125s, but now it's the Moto 3. But as soon as you hear them, we get to the track, you're on.
Yeah, and the cold normally sobers you up pretty quickly as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Weather's looking all right. Definitely doesn't matter. You have to look at different apps, but one says 17 on Sunday, one says 24.
That's messed up, man.
That's Philip Island though. That's just how it is, you know.
Meet somewhere in the middle.
You boys see Casey Stoner came out and said he's possibly looking to give back into the sport.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Good. He's obviously battling a lot with chronic fatigue and everything over his racing career and even after it. And I think he's now looks to be obviously getting on top of that. And just time away from the sport, I think, helps.
I was going to say it probably helped him out a lot.
Yeah. So, you know, he's done a few stuff with TNT when it was in Phillip Island last
year. Yeah, beautiful.
And he came out and said, yeah, he's possibly looking to give back a bit. Well, I don't know what that means, but, you know, it could be with either commentary or obviously the younger junior ranks, I think, is what he was kind of leading to. So
oh,
he
says sweet, man.
He's got a lot of stuff to give and, you know, he's done things the right way and the wrong way. So that's cool. And we've been talking about that a little bit. So
that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah, he's got a lot to give.
Two-time world champion. And people almost universally say he's most talented rider. How many riders have we spoken to?
Everyone we've spoken to that's raced with him or against him have said that. Yeah. Seems to be common knowledge at this point.
Yeah, only one to make that Ducati work for about 20 years as well.
Absolutely.
And chronic fatigue. Imagine getting up every morning and just feeling fucking tired all the time.
Well, like that's what my missus has. Not to make this bad, but she's been full diagnosed with it and I watch it.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah, it's tough. It's
And there's nothing you can do.
There's nothing worse than feeling like, imagine just feeling tired all the time. You're like bedridden. And then trying to race bikes.
Yeah, I mean, you used to see him. Yeah. You used to see him and like in the podiums and everything.
Mm. And he took a bit of time off.
I think half a year.
Yeah. Yep.
Set out.
And no one knew. He didn't know. No one knew.
It's pretty wild.
He was pretty harshly criticized back then as well.
I think that's a big reason why I reckon he got...
The media
he got
just,
murdered by the media because he was the next big thing, you know, with Lorenzo after Rossi, but Lorenzo still had the charisma. Yes, Casey didn't.
Yeah, that's right. He didn't play to that media.
Yeah, and it just trying to follow Rossi, and everyone probably thinks, oh, everyone's gonna be like him, but it's just as we know, it's not the case.
Still hasn't been the case. There's no one even close to Rossi in.
And there never will be though. Like everyone's got their own spin on it, like Lorenzo and Mark, but they're not. Yeah, and you can't do that shit these days. Like Rossi put out a sex doll. You know, with Max Biaggi giving him shit. There's been interesting stuff. Did you see the stuff commentary around that during the week as well?
No.
Rossi basically came out and said, you know, he was the problem. He was the one of the catalyst of it all. Like he recognizes now that he pushed Biaggi's buttons and was openly talking about how he didn't like him because he was saying that everyone's from Emilia Romagna,
yep,
or whatever it is, from Misano, right? Where he was from Milan, I believe.
Biaggi?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I think, and then like they just had a different vibe and he said, you know, because he was from Milan, the way he would talk to media and set himself up and had this his character, he didn't like it.
Yeah.
Because he was obviously, I think Rossi and his, like he was obviously a big Cap Rossi fan as well. So they were always rivals.
Yeah.
He was a lot more laid back where Biaggi was a bit more.
Yeah, stirred, a bit more uptight.
Yeah, so. Mm. And he would openly come out and he said, oh, no, I'd openly come out and say, you know, I didn't like Max Biaggi and all this stuff. I'm really stirring the pot. So,
there you go.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was very interesting.
Would Emilia Romagna be a bit more of like a working class sort of place where Milan's a bit more?
I would assume so, yeah. Absolutely. Just judging by it.
So it's like a country versus city sort of vibe exactly. As well.
It's more on the water, isn't it? Misano way?
Yeah, I think it's towards the coast.
Yeah, yeah, it's more coastal.
Yeah.
Where everyone's more laid back anywhere you go on the coast.
Correct, yeah. And I think over in Europe in general, there is that split. If you're from a major city and you're from a bit more working class or outskirts, it's like fight or flight, really.
Yeah.
So that's just funny he came out and said that. And I think
you just couldn't imagine two Aussies, though. That hatred in a sport where you're versing against the world, you know.
I guess maybe because it's more European dominated or like Aussies, I guess.
There's not much opportunity for two of them to be there at the same time.
And, you know, you always go into the ranks together and I guess you've got a bit more common ground because you're on the other side of the planet.
But didn't Chris mention something about not talking to Casey too often while they were in the paddock together?
You're right. And I don't think the Aussies are being that great with on each other as it is, you know.
Not lovey-dovey, no.
No, I don't think really anyone is, I know of. No one hangs out.
Well, the thing is with the Aussie boys as well, they're competing so hard in the junior ranks. Like you saw that with Roulston and Senna and all those guys is like they compete so hard to get that goal, that one goal, and there's only those certain spots. So yeah, watch that space for those two names as well, actually.
Shout out to the junior ranks as well. The FIM Mini GP series was on the weekend.
Yeah.
And I think the winners that have gone to Valencia doing a media press stuff in Phillip Islands.
Yeah, sweet. This we'll weekend. Have to catch up with them.
Yeah, and so all the fans get around them because they're going to be representing the Aussies over in Valencia, I believe, at the end of the year, which is cool.
Mate, I went to go watch them on a practice day down at Port Melbourne. They're wild, those things. Like Dunker almost sent himself to the moon. Like they push those little things fast as like
it's
unbelievable to watch.
You can seriously hurt yourself as Curdy knows.
Yeah, Curtis has fallen to that.
Did you break your wrists, Curdy, on one of those Avales?
Yeah. put him out of action for a while. The right one as well.
Oh, yeah, that would be rough.
Not good. Not good. I've no. Yeah, there's a few. There was a big fella that high sided when I was there too.
Oh, really?
Like bigger than Tom, like taller and.
Yeah, right. Oh, they're a piece of piss, mate. I'll fucking handle them easily. Give me a go.
Coming off that 1100.
Yeah, exactly. If I can ride 1100, bro, which I could, you ride anything. You know what I'm saying?
That's it.
That's ridiculous.
What are you looking forward to, James?
That's a good question. You know what? I'm looking forward to catching up with the Aussie boys and seeing how they're going. Obviously, we're doing a few pods with them during the week. But I think that will be really, really cool. Yeah, I'm probably looking forward to that and just seeing all the back of the pits again and catching up with a few people. I wouldn't mind getting out and watching. We always miss it year on. I remember watching it like maybe 1 or 2 years. We're always normally in the back of the pits, but watching some qualifying action because I like watching them just right on the edge.
Yeah, well, that's that P2, practice two, which is not practice two, it's practice qualifying. That's a really cool session on a Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be make or break because you know how we all know how important it is now.
Yeah, absolutely, like, it is.
To get into that top 10 is going to be make or break for the weekend. Passing's a lot pretty easier on Phillip Island than some other tracks, but like if you're 11th or 12th, you ain't winning the race. We know that now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting with all this aero stuff because it's always traditionally been such an open race, Phillip Island.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they can follow and how long for here.
Mm. Well, you were just saying before, Daniel, 08, Rossi starting last, finishes second.
Yeah.
That's unheard of now. That wouldn't happen.
No, you couldn't do it now.
Wouldn't happen.
Not in the Premier class anyway.
Not in the Premier class at all, no. Like, it's the game's changed. Qualifying is that much more important, almost as important as Formula One, so...
Yeah, just about.
But it's our first sprint race we're going to see at Phillip Island.
Yeah,
so
that, I'm
for
really
that.
Excited for that.
Hopefully.
Oh, fuck.
We were
come
supposed
on.
To have one last year.
That's true.
No, it that's should be very right. true. It should be okay. Hopefully. But I mean, that's going to be like, guys, like that's creme de la creme. Talk about that. Sprint race Phillip Island.
Yeah.
Like how exciting is that going to be?
Yeah.
Jorge Martin, put your money on him. It's
well,
a shoo-in.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'd honestly be probably back in Marquez for that sprint race.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. He's got to qualify good, but he's been nowhere of qualifying.
Yeah.
He's just got to stay on the bike and qualifying. That's the difference. That's the difference. Far out. He just keeps... Well, he made a fundamental mistake. Yeah.
Stay within the lines.
Stay within the lines, yeah. But
well, we don't even have green here, do we? Oh, only on a few corner exits.
Think through the hay shed there might be, I think...
Coming out of Honda, maybe?
Yes, out of Honda there
is. Yes, there
I
is.
I think coming out of Siberia, there's also some green. Because there actually is a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Running wide at turn one isn't the faster line, so I don't think we'll see them through there at all.
No.
I don't think there is green anyway.
Yeah, it's just grass, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's how it should be, huh?
Yeah. Oh, there's a little bit of runoff, and then you're into, kitty litter grass.
There's more catch fence around the island as well.
Yeah,
we saw a lot more. Well, we saw a lot more when we drove past today.
But and there's more when Daniel and I went for Aussie Superbikes.
As long as I don't put it at turn one, we're
okay. Nah, there wasn't any there.
Yeah.
I think it's more on the outsides.
There must be a regulation.
For a roll.
Yeah, there must be a regulation now where if you're going on a left-hand turn, you have to have a certain amount of meterage to the fence. So
it makes sense. I've seen some people come off through Siberia and they come off early. Otherwise, that's going into the crowd. Like, bike will go into the crowd.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you reckon if a bike went into the crowd and just say, everyone was okay, how many things do you reckon would get pinched off that bike?
I was just about to say, you'd be pillaging everything off it, eh? You'd be trying to take
it. I'd be taking
a nose cone.
Oh, nose cone.
I was
going to
say, what would be the first thing you take?
Nose cone.
Yeah.
That's you know what happened to that guy in Jerez? He took something off a marshal.
Yeah, and
the camera caught him.
Yeah, he took the little the wristband thing off the.
Oil. Oh, is that all it was?
Yeah.
He took.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And he got banned for life and fined and fucking all this.
I tried to get a nose cone at Supers this year.
Yeah, you're good at that stuff.
I was asking
Charity Gartsy sort of thing.
Nah, Mark VDS.
Oh yeah,
Sam Lowe's had a mad stack.
Oh.
And
but what are they going to do with it, Daniel? They'll just throw it in the bin, wouldn't they?
Well, the nose cone wasn't damaged that bad, and they reckon they were going to repair it.
I was like,
what about the side fairing? It was cooked.
Mm.
And it's credit to him. The mechanic did go and ask, and then he's like, no, I can't. And then chased me down the next day and gave me a screen.
Oh, that's nice.
He's like, oh, he goes, dude, I'm throwing this out. Like, it's not a fairing, but do you want this? I'm like, 100%. And then I end up getting Sam to sign it and scored one of Sam's boots as well.
God.
But yeah, nose cone for sure. Because you can put it anywhere. Or a side fairing. It'd look amazing.
Mm. Yeah, 100%.
Daniel, that's your like your sole job this week is to build a merchandise bin for us. Okay?
Yeah, so I've bought down...
A big bag?
Yeah.
A suitcase?
So I have. No, I've got Espargaro's visor and Bezzecchi's visor from last year. Yeah. So I want to hunt at least Bez down. I don't know if Paul's here for...
He might be here for commentary.
Yeah, for commentary.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to get get them signed. But yeah, I think we can curate a nice little
amount.
I got my old man here, so I need to get him into the back of the pits. He's real good at
He speaks
Italian.
And he speaks fluently. Yeah. So I left my learning a little bit late this year, unfortunately. So I can speak enough to say hello, how are you, and little bits. But he's going to get us over the line.
Good.
100%. Or he got me into the Dainese. Yeah. 10, I got to hold Marini's helmet and Mir's helmet.
That was last year.
Which was last year, which we got the visors. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. And then, yeah, we'll just sneak into some places, I think. And, hey, I work for you guys here in Australia.
Bro, we've got accreditation. We've just got sponsors. We've got accreditation this year. We'll be able to get in anywhere.
You know what's crazy? You're talking about those visors. I remember holding one of them, how, like, they were so different. They were so much heavier.
Yeah, so it's a lot heavier that... They were the rain ones too, so they had the rubber seal through the top, and then like the pin lock was like, it was almost like glued in. Yeah. It was real strange.
And so they got tear offs on that visor, or was it just the visor?
It was just the visor. Yeah, I didn't get the tear off. So my goal this year is to get a tear off to put on it for them to sign it.
Yep.
I've got normal pista tear offs that'll fit it.
Yeah,
but if I can get one with their little tab on the side,
that'd be cool. Yeah.
It'd be much cooler. And plus, I think the riding sits on it.
Better
than what it does. Oh, then again, that sits pretty good.
Mm.
But
it's also tinted though, so it might.
That's right. Yeah. It'll look a lot better.
Look a lot better.
The screen that I got signed is clear.
Yeah.
And you've really got to
look at it.
Look at it, or if I've got to put like something behind it. But yeah, visors are completely different.
Yeah.
Which you can actually buy for that helmet.
Okay.
It's a race visor, so they screw into the base plate rather than clip.
Oh, yeah.
So slightly different.
I remember holding Marquez's leathers last year and how light they were.
That's cool.
Yeah, because it's like full, you know, that'd be full a 10 grand
kangaroo
leather suit. And that was like, it was like nothing. It was wild.
And I think the thing with Alps, from what I've heard, is they choose 4 athletes to give the primo top suit to.
Yeah, that's right. You're saying that.
Which I believe, I'm just going to assume, for the sake of assumption, Tom, as you would say,
yep,
that it would be Marquez, Martin, Fabio Quartararo and...
Bagnaia. Has to be. Yeah, that'd be the 4.
So whether there's truth to that or not, I don't know. But
I think we've heard that from multiple sources.
Yeah, no, it's true. We've heard it from multiple sources.
Yeah. And I know with Dainese, if you look, a lot of the boys are wearing different gloves, different boots, different suit. Like they're different as well.
It's like a popularity contest, isn't it?
I think, they just obviously give people the newer stuff and then maybe some people get prototype stuff to test. You know, like I'd be giving prototype stuff to Mia because he's always in the gravel trap.
ultimate protection. What I mean? Yeah, it's true. It's a good point.
So,
would you be wearing Alps or Dainese if you're a MotoGP rider?
Look, I love Dainese. I've got a connection to it growing up. But I think I'd have to go Alps.
Mm.
Like their range all round. And have you seen what they're doing now? They've released sneakers that look like Jordans that have been made out of Quartararo's leathers and Pecco Bagnaia's leathers.
That's cool as shit.
It looks amazing.
Shit. How do you get your hands on one of them?
I'm not too sure. They're called Alpine Stars Reserve, and they're doing a whole bunch of stuff.
You gotta show me.
$1,200 US.
Fuck.
That's up your alley though, Daniel. Like,
not $1,200. Not
Afterpay. No, shit.
That's like the Antisocial Social Club drop. They dropped Supertex, and I was like, all right, I'll have a crack at these. They were $1,100 Australian. I'm like, no, not happening.
That's wild.
You know, the t-shirts were like $80 each.
How long have Alpine Stars been in like full road gear?
Do you know the origin of how Alpine Stars started?
I feel like we've spoken about this before, but I can't remember.
The original logo is a flower. Mm. So Listy from my work, shout out Listy, told me because he used to work for him, and he went over to the headquarters and it was Alpine Stars, I believe, in scriptic writing, and a flower, like an actual flower. And it was, they made boots for, I think it was like shoes or something along.
Snow studs or something.
Something like that. And this certain flower only lived on a certain mountain. And they used to have a race every year to go up and get this flower. And that's where Alpine Stars came from. And then it merged into the old logo, which was just Alpine Stars. And then they brought the star back in. But it's actually, that star actually represents a flower. There you go. I only learned that the other day. But how interesting is that? And people forget it's Italian as well. Yep. When I was a kid, I always thought it was American, but it's Italian.
Yeah, Alpine Stars does sound a lot more American, doesn't it? Like,
but I think even Fox might be Italian as well.
Really? Originated from there?
I think so. I could be wrong. Someone fact check me on that. But
God, that's like the most American dirt bike company.
Yeah. I know, right? You'd be surprised. A lot of the brands are.
I was just saying before about Alpine Stars. When did they start making road gear for like MotoGP? Because I don't feel like when I was a kid, I didn't see Alpine Stars.
Well, that came about because the Italian manufacturers had a handshake agreement, which was, you might know, Daniel, is Dainese made the suits.
Yeah.
Alpine Stars made the boots and Spitty made the gloves.
Mm. That's right. So they always ran Alpine Stars boots.
Yeah. For a long time, they always had that, but it was just a handshake agreement. I don't know who broke it first, but then someone started just making the suits. And then the gloves.
Yeah.
I know the Dainese suits were like hot property back in like the 80s to get one of them. Yeah, they were.
I think Alps might have started mid-90s maybe. Again, I could be very wrong.
But you're right.
But it makes sense because like if you look at Rossi, he was all Dainese through his early years with Alps boots.
Yeah.
Yeah. We always talked about that back in the day. So, no, it's good. I think like you got to be full factory. Like you got to be the full factory spec, having all the gear from the same company. That's the best.
Well, now Alps are doing Alps helmets, and it is literally they do have head to toe contracts.
Head to toe, yeah.
Yeah, not a bad lid that. I took mine out for a spin the other night.
Oh, that's right. You got one.
Yeah, it's not too bad at all. Bit windy, but
it's a race helmet.
Race helmet. What do you expect? It was actually quite quiet though, in comparison to like a Pista and all the other race helmets.
So yeah,
I'll do a review on it.
That's cool.
See it. Gear Geek, welcome back.
Yeah, it's back. Actually, baby.
No more contractual disputes.
The man can't tell us what to do. We tell them what to do. You know what I'm saying?
But Alps, I think, for sure, the way to go.
Yeah, I'm with you. They got all the MX stuff. Yeah, Alps.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think the same thing. Yep.
Curtis?
He's Dainese, bro. Look at you through and through.
He's Dainese.
Yeah.
He loves it. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Spitty's not a bad one too. I don't mind Spitty.
Hard to get in Australia.
I don't know if you can anymore.
If you're a real motorcyclist.
I think Moto National dropped it.
Yeah.
So I think it's up in the air at the moment. But yeah, Spitty's not a bad one. Their boots are pretty sick.
With MotoGP, do you see they're doing a rebranding at the end of this year?
Tom? It's going to be interesting, man. I'm not too sure, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got to wait to see it.
What was that, sorry, James?
MotoGP rebranding the end of the year.
Yeah, okay. So that's what their release was last. Well, it's interesting. So obviously, do you think that's come from...
I'm with you, Daniel. I don't know. Until you see it, you don't know how to make that judgment.
Yeah. Do you think that is come from the new owners and stuff?
Yeah, of course.
Liberty Media?
For sure.
I already miss the logo now.
The logo is classic. You know what's funny? Like, I know this is off topic sort of, but I sort of like the old MotoGP graphics back in like 2012, 13, like when you're watching it on TV. I really like that old look, and they had the down the bottom, like the race results. That's sort of a bit nostalgic. That's the problem, the thing is,
you'll never think about it at the time.
Yeah, that's still a superbike thing.
Yeah, it is. It is.
They're
still stuck in that age. But that's how it should be.
But I do. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I like that as well.
But that's how it should be. Superbikes are always like 10 years behind. Like,
yeah, and the rest.
And the rest, yeah.
They can't even video crashes, let alone.
They'll bring back 2-stroke 500s.
I wouldn't be mad about that.
That
would be amazing for that category, by the way. But it doesn't make sense for a manufacturer. James, have we got any other topics? Hot takes?
Another thing I wanted to talk about that came out is Petrucci came out this week and was basically talking about his time when he won Mugello back in 2016.
Yeah, in the wet.
That was the dry.
It was
maybe 2019,
I think it might have been 18 or 19.
18 or 19.
He passed Marquez and Dobby in the last lap, first corner.
And he said when he was on the podium, but I'm going to paraphrase here, but he was ashamed to almost be Italian because all the fans were booing Marquez. And he apologized to Marquez during the podium. If you watch the footage closely, you see him whisper, like talk into his ear saying, "I'm so sorry for this." And because it was in reference to when Pecco was shaking his finger at the fans in Italy. And he said, like, you know, this isn't what fans should be like. You know, you're a spectator. You don't, like, what happens on the track is what stays on the track. You know, and he's like, I almost felt ashamed. And it was embarrassing.
Yeah, wow.
So I thought that was really interesting. He's like, I know everyone's passionate and that's fine. But his big gripe is these riders are putting their life at risk for your entertainment.
Yeah.
You at least got to give them that type of respect. So I thought that was really interesting. Good on him
for coming out and saying that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's had a great couple of months, hasn't he, Petrucci, after his big crash. So
well, he just tied up the top independent for SBK over the weekend as well.
That's
pretty amazing.
Yeah. Seems like a really nice fella.
Yeah, apparently.
Didn't take much notice of him in MotoGP, to be honest with you, but...
Rain Master.
He was good in the rain. He was. But yeah, and done nothing for years. And then he's come out and won a race and he's back in the news and we're talking about him again.
Would you say that him and Aleix Espargaró are the two that kind of climbed out of that CRT era and actually made a career for themselves?
Yeah, definitely.
I remember Aleix Espargaró, I think, put that CRT bike in pole and I believe in Sachsenring or front row.
No way.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think you're right.
Really?
And when I watched 2014 Phillip Island the other day and he was sixth on the grid, he was second row on that CRT forward bike.
That's incredible.
He's actually a decent rider. Well,
that's crazy, man. That was like peak Aleix before he was like slapping people and shit.
Before he became a hothead.
Who do you slap again?
Morbidelli deserved a bar.
Yes. But broke his finger.
I know he did too.
On the helmet. What a dummy.
Wow, that was fucking dumb.
What a chooch.
What a fucking chooch.
He is a hothead, Bart.
he is. How do you reckon he'll go this weekend? Aleix Espargaró.
Nah, nowhere, mate.
Like he's but you know what? It's a bit of an Aprilia, dare I say it, a bit of a Vinales.
I'm on Vinales this weekend. I'm not going to lie.
Is he in the top five?
He might be. He might be.
Oh, fuck yes. He might sneak in as well.
There's zero chance.
I've got it tied up pretty much. I've come in and had an unbelievable week last week.
You had a great
back
weekend.
Back to first, which is good. It's amazing how quick it can change.
You know what it is? I don't want to just confide to the norm. I want to just throw someone in there for the sake of throwing. You know what it is?
Chitch. I've been throwing someone in there from the start. What are you talking about? I finally put in the normal thing last 2 weeks. Boom, at the top. Like, unbelievable.
If Vinales wins this weekend, I'll do the next podcast in my underwear. Done.
On the camera.
If Vinales wins this weekend, I'll do the next.
I'm putting him number one on my thing, on my tips then.
Good excuse to get the guns out, but you know what I'm saying?
Nah, not the fucking sore nips, but.
Yeah,
true. I'm thinking some band-aids on those nips, bro. Yeah, I want people to see that.
I bought some.
Oh, God. Did you?
Everyone listening.
What happened, James? Talk us through it.
Well,
he's been dying to talk about it.
I've been getting messages. I got messages on my personal account by it. But I've been joking.
Yeah, from your mum.
No, that was a comment.
Your dad doesn't message you yet.
I don't get much from my familia, unfortunately. I don't get much. That's a sensitive topic, bro. myself and world bagger champion Troy Herfoss ran the Melbourne Marathon.
Right on, mate. Well done.
Well done, dude.
It was good to see him. I ran a sub 3.5 hour marathon. Troy did a sub 2:50 marathon, I believe. He's a fucking animal.
Beast. So when you say you've seen him run past and that was about it.
Not even. I saw him the day before picking up our bibs.
Nah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was a good event. I've never had nipple chafing in my life and then I had serious nipple chafing about 15 Ks through and just blocked out the pain and it was good. Melbourne Marathon was awesome.
It's got to be one of the big, like, we hear about marathons and you hear the Boston Marathon, New York Marathon. 40,000 people ran yesterday.
Yeah.
That's a lot, man.
That's a lot of people. People flew into state for it.
It was packed.
I couldn't believe James told me it cost $200 for entry.
And probably the change, actually.
And the rest. And I'm thinking there was 40,000. It's an $8 million fucking event. Huge event. I didn't even realize this thing was big. So kudos, bro. You did really well.
Thanks, yeah, that's man. Awesome. I was representing Republica.
In a year's time, Daniel and I will be following you, bro.
Yeah.
Nah, no running for me.
No?
Nah, I'm not a good runner.
You can follow me in the pushy. Some people are doing that.
Are you allowed to enter with the pushy or?
Nah, they're just doing it. Actually, a lot of people are doing it on e scooters as well. And like
that's ridiculous.
But like, you know,
pacing?
Nah. they'll do that, but not really at pacing, but they'll go checkpoint to checkpoint if they had, like, you know, special gels or like liquids.
I'd do that for you.
Yeah. Oh, I thought someone was just doing that for fun, like following the runners on their e-scooter.
Nah, you get in people's way, it's fucking packed.
Yeah.
Especially in the half marathon, they merged back into the marathon. And I was like,
oh, you would have been yelling at him and getting away.
I was shoving people out of the way. Yeah. I was fucked.
Yeah. That's awesome.
He's like 35 Ks in. I can't break my stride for some retard in front of me.
Whoa.
Do you have the tunes going?
Yeah, I had the tunes to 35 Ks and they dropped out.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah.
And the tune dropped out, the people blocked you. It was just a...
Yeah, it was.
The world collided.
Yeah. It was. And then
it was like Daniel in the cricket net. You weren't happy.
Yeah, I wasn't. I was very annoyed. Nipples were chafing.
Oh, jeez.
Did you just have Perk Angle's theme song on repeat?
You know what? I had Angle's theme song come on and then Brock Lesnar's theme song came on. And I reckon I ran like 4:30 splits that one because I was like so pumped up. I was ready to give old mate next to me an ankle lock. Pull over, I'll give him an ankle lock.
An ankle slam off the top rope.
My God, it's a human body. He broke him in half. You look a little bit like JR too. We need to get you a cowboy hat.
Yeah, fuck yeah. JR, most respected man WWE, by the way.
Got kicked out of it as well.
Yeah, I mean, fucking...
I think he called someone an R word. I think he called someone retarded.
Like you just did?
What's an R word?
A retard. a retard.
It's all fun. It's all sports entertainment, you know what I'm saying?
It's all part of it.
It's all part of it.
Well, Vince McMahon called Booker T the N word. Oh, sorry, he can't cancel himself.
Booker T called Hulk Hogan the N word too.
Booker T.
We're coming for you.
Hulk Hogan.
Well, yes, Vince McMahon has done a couple of questionable things over the last few years.
Guilty until proven.
Proven guilty.
That's it.
What a fucking beat up that is, seriously.
Good documentary.
Yeah, really good.
Anyway, yeah, thanks, boys. I'm very proud of my efforts.
Proud of you, bro. That's awesome, man.
To be fair, shout out this. You know what, though, talking about this, shout out to Troy.
Yeah.
Runs in under, I think 248 he ran, if I'm not mistaken, 248, 247. Sub-3-hour marathon is incredible, but it shows how fit these riders are.
Oh, dude.
You know, because...
Is that a normal thing, though, in this day and age? Are they all that fit, you reckon?
Well, Aleix Spargo can do, I think, an Ironman. I think he's that fit. He does... I know he does, like, all triathlon, cycling, mountain bike, running races. Like, he's as fit as you can get on... For a MotoGP rider,
yeah,
he would run a sub-3-hour, but he could. I reckon he could almost do an Ironman.
He's just bone, like skin and bone as well.
Strong,
isn't he?
All man, are, but man. Yeah. A lot of them are.
I've seen Cordero punch out 30Ks on a treadmill. I've seen his posts. Like those, they're all just super fit. All those guys are just another level.
Yeah,
yeah. I know all the boys in this local series love their cycling.
Cycling's a massive one.
Yeah, they churn out the Ks.
Yeah. It's
Well, Joel Kelso, he's right into it. Senna Agius.
Yeah, loves it.
Senna Agius, I think, likes cycling more he likes than riding bikes.
Yeah, they get it.
Because remember we had him on the pod last time, and he may come on the pod again this week, but we'll see. And his mate was messaging and saying, did he just talk about cycling all the time? Like, it's interesting.
He can see it though. It's addictive. Like you do some cycling as well, and like just even when you get into your own rhythm and thoughts, it's an addictive thing. And
endurance sports,
endurance sports is definitely
it's just peaceful, man. I just talk for peace.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then you hit it's the pancake.
Yeah, hard.
Yeah, that's hard. I remember I got to 38-39 kilometers and I was I was in hell for like 2Ks. It was hard. I don't know how, like, you know, cyclists in the Tour de France just back it up and do 180Ks, whatever it is.
And then they do it the next day. That's the thing. Yeah, that's 3 weeks straight. Could you imagine waking up this morning to another marathon?
Fuck no, man. I don't know how people do it. No way.
Nah.
They're animals.
Different breed.
So I got to get that blood doping going.
Yeah. You got to get that, blood transfusions and shit.
But it does. Seriously.
That's the thing. That's why those cunts drop. Those blokes do that though because it gets so addictive. They want to get better and better and better.
Yeah, that's right.
And then someone says you can shoot this into your ass and you'll be that much better. That's why everyone did it.
It's so true. But like those GP riders, superbike riders, you know, motocross, just motorcycle riders in general, they're just so fit. Like,
And to wrestle around what 200-odd horsepower?
Yeah, like the cardio
that takes a bit,
100%, and having all that massive cardio base obviously is a huge thing, and then obviously have the strength base to it as well.
Yeah, their core strength and I mean, strength all round, but core strength would be unbelievable, especially to hang off the way they do.
I wonder who was the real first, because I remember Valentino was talking about how he wasn't massive into fitness. Mm. He did a lot of riding stuff, but like these days you see Jorge Martin, obviously, like, you know, we know Troy and he does a lot of stuff there. All those guys do like do a lot of endurance, like Aleix Espargaró do a lot of those endurance athlete like sports. I wonder where that first came about, because I remember Daniel when we were talking to Vermeulen, we said, oh, you know, he was talking about running and cycling and stuff, and it was just too much. It was too hard to bring a bike with him everywhere, so he just ran.
But yeah,
I wonder where it really took over, because it's definitely probably the last, I'd say, 15 years. Maybe it's might be more prolific.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be interesting to sort of run it back and see. It'd probably be from guys coming through the ranks, from the young guys coming through the ranks.
And they're all very cardiovascular fit these days. You can just tell. You look at them.
No more cheeseburgers, you know?
There's no more cheesies, mate. There's no double cheesies.
Gone are the days.
Unfortunately.
I think sport as a whole in the last 20 years, everyone's got fitter and stronger.
And it's all about recovery. Recovery is the biggest thing.
Recovery is the key, man.
There's more money in it now. Yeah. So there's always like people are striving for more and more and more and more. So
yeah, you could almost say like 30 years ago plus, it was like it was off just natural talent.
Yeah.
When now it's natural talent plus the desire of, you know.
Yeah.
And but sometimes just that alone gets you over the line.
Yeah.
Obviously depending on the sport.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've seen plenty of people get to places where I'm like, man, you would not get there based on skill, but they're fantastic athletes and got a fantastic mindset towards training and reaching a goal. So
yeah, it might be like the other way around now, where like you can be super, super fit and be able to get to sort of where you want to be, where back in the day you had to have mega talent to get there.
Yeah,
true.
Well, the funny thing is, you look at Brody Kostecki, who won the Bathurst 1000 yesterday. Big boy.
Yeah, he is.
Big, solid boy.
He's got a spare tyre around his waist.
He's almost T-Shav level, I would say. Probably same keggage. Maybe I've got him covered, but interesting, like not a hugely fit dude, but that sport's changed as well via supercars. There's a lot of fit guys in there.
A lot of
fit guys, but Brad, hanging on to those bikes, like they're getting faster and faster and faster.
You got to have core strength. As you said, you got to have core strength.
Oh yeah. Like, 100%. Jesus. Dude. Yeah. It's amazing what they can do with their bodies, you know, weight distribution and everything, how big a difference it makes as well.
And they're still on the limit every lap and they're trying to chase, you know.
But the bike doesn't work if it's not on the limit.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be there and they're trying to chase. Yep. They're chasing tenths and then they're sticking within a few tenths per lap in a race.
Yeah.
Like that's wild stuff.
Yeah, I know.
There's only sport where there's still cheeseburgers prevail is the Ironman TD.
Oh, dude, yeah, that's. I think a lot of that's up here as well.
I think they're all just crazy. The Doco Faster on the Edge, whatever it's called.
Ironman TT, Closer to the Edge.
Closer to the Edge. They go through Ian Hutchinson where he clean sweeps that week.
Yep.
And he actually put it down to, and they talk about it a lot, is his fitness. And he was kind of the first person who really trained for it and take it a bit more seriously in that aspect. And he clean sweep that weekend.
Yeah.
You know, he's had some big crashes since or whatever, but I think that race is still, you know, in the head.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, remember when we spoke to Cam Donald and he was telling us about John McGuinness and they were doing the an 8-hour together or whatever, and he had the smoothest throttle control and he was, you know, 20, 30 kilos heavier than Cam and their other teammate. Right. And there's that natural talent, right?
Yeah, and that better than that, and then that just saves tyres.
Well, he said that he has really, like, he was able to warm the rear tire up really quick. He thought it was because he was fat. I love that. It's the best. Oh, it's the best.
I'd love to have a yarn with him. He'd be unbelievable.
Yeah.
McGuinness.
Oh, dude.
Do you reckon you could understand every third word?
Yeah, maybe every third or fourth. He'd split the G for sure.
Oh bro, 100%.
In the name, bro. Far out.
Yeah, but yeah, it is. It's wild. I think 100% gone are the days where talent's only going to get you so far. Everything comes into play, especially now with media and all that. Like, they want the right person. They want the right look. You know, look at Formula One. Like, you're not going to see some dude with a buckled head in Formula One and he's going to become the poster boy and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no more, you know? Robert Kubica's, that's for sure.
Exactly.
With the arm.
The other thing is, I think as well, for motorbike riding is you've got to be tiny at the start because all those bikes are tiny. The Moto 3 bikes, like to succeed to go through the ranks, you need to win those titles now. You need to win races in those smaller categories. So I think like even the bigger boys, even practicing when they're a kid, they're probably going to give it up at 14, 15 because they're like, we're not winning on these bikes.
If you're 6 foot at 14,
you're not winning. Yeah. So
maybe when you're older, like obviously Marini is that tall, and obviously Rossi, we all know that.
Yeah,
Simicelli's another one who was pretty tall.
Yeah,
but then that's where you're going to go across to your super stock, super sport, and BSB, all that kind of stuff, because you can get away with being a little bit bigger on those bikes.
Yeah,
especially now with weight limits that they got.
Yeah,
that are enforced. It probably pays your advantage. I mean, look at Scott Redding; he's huge.
Mm.
Scott Redding's probably your height, Tom.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and like pretty fit dude as well. Like, he's a big cyclist, and he's not the skinniest dude getting in the sense like he doesn't look like a motorbike rider.
So more solid.
He's more solid than that. Like
he raced MotoGP, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
He did. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He was meant to be sort of like the next big thing too, coming through the ranks, Scotty Redding, but just didn't get a good crack at it. He got stiffed when like satellite bikes were shit.
Yeah,
and he was like on Primark Ducati when Primark Ducati was fucking nowhere.
You just need that big break, don't you? It's like an old motorsport. You just need the big break.
You got to be lucky and
right there at the right time.
Yeah,
but it happened with Hector Barbera. It happened with Bautista. Like these guys didn't get the run that they probably deserved. Mm. Well, not deserved, but you would think that they would get. But again, we've spoken about it so many times. You're coming against the 4 or 5 aliens. Like, you got no hope.
And the things with MotoGP as well, like you don't turn up the next year, like. For example, KTM aren't going to turn up the next year and dominate. It just doesn't happen.
No, it takes years.
It takes years. So, like, a guy like who stayed on a KTM, or they've got all new riders, probably not a good example, but like Honda turn up next year and dominate. Juan Mir's done the hard yards the last 2-3 years there, and then be on a championship winning bike. Doesn't work.
That's right. No.
So you have to be in the team, get results, and then you may win a world championship in years to come. That's the difference.
Mm.
Where Formula One, to be honest with you, people can come up the next year and have a couple of good designs and be winning.
Like
McLaren, you know, like it is different.
It changes so quickly.
There's a lot of money, a lot more money, but like it does change quickly.
The only thing that's going to be the outlier is going to the new rules in 27.
Yeah. Still a long way away. Two and a half seasons to go.
So. Yeah. 100%. Just quickly, you watched Bathurst on the weekend. I watched a bit of it.
Yeah, I did. I did. Nearly fell asleep. It was
boring.
Well, look, to be honest with you, the whole event for me was still a great success. 40,000 campers I had down there.
Yeah, it's cool. The whole event still, for sure.
Why is it you laughing? Is you falling asleep? Oh, sorry, Katie.
Sorry.
Really disappointed that the race wasn't good because it was a fantastic weekend. I think that supercars are coming up again.
Yeah, it seems to be heading that way.
Toyota coming back in 26 and running a Supra. That's going to be really exciting. So I think things are looking on the up. They got a good calendar next year. So I think for all of us guys, it's pretty important that this category stays around, even though it was sort of
100%.
It's got to.
The race was boring, but there wasn't a safety car for 120 laps or something.
No, it's hard. And I think 25 runners just isn't enough for Bathurst. You need like 40 cars, and there's just more
and
action.
A longer race.
Yeah, I know. It's just over so quickly now. I remember waking up, and we always talk about this, waking up at like 8 o'clock in the morning. The race started at 9 and finished at like 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's wicked.
And now it finished in 5.5 hours.
Yeah, I got home after piss farting around for ages after the run on Sunday, and I was like spewing that I was going to miss some of it. I only missed like 50 laps.
Yeah, because it starts so late.
Yeah. You know, if I just finished and went straight home, I would have only missed 15, 20 laps, not even.
Yeah, so disappointing. It was a shit race. It's just so hard to pass. The cars are so big. Like as soon as you get out in front, you just can hold that lead so easily. As you just coast down the hill, down the mountain, and then just gun it down Conrod, and you're there. So there's not really any other passing opportunities. And the other thing is, if you go for a pass, which happened so many times over the race, you lock up a front wheel. The wheel flat spots, you got to pit and your race is fucked. So it's just not worth it. You know, you might as well sit in your position. So
100%.
Take it away, Jimmy boy. Hot takes.
Philip Island, hot takes, boys. There's a couple here for you as well.
Just before we jump into them, I want to shout out to a colleague of mine, Josh, who brought up about, is it Tony Bow?
Yep.
About the championships. So that's actually split championships.
So
what did you say he won? 18 or whatever it was?
36.
They're split.
Five night, five day.
I think it's like a day.
Five time.
What was it again? Is it day or is it seasonal?
I, I, you said day and night, which made me think, is it outdoor and indoor?
I think that's right. It's outdoor and indoor.
Because there's an outdoor. I see them do outdoor stuff and indoor stuff.
Yeah. So they're two separate champions. Okay. So shout out to my mate Josh for bringing that up.
So he's only really an 18-time world champion then, Jim.
Well, no. It's like if you win an outdoor motocross title versus a
it's like winning motocross.
Yeah, he's still a world champion. No, champion. They don't go to every single race, so it's not a world champion. James, he got me on that one.
But still impressive nonetheless. I thought I had to bring that up.
36 world championships. Imagine his trophy room, bro. Seriously. Do you get bored after winning 36 world titles?
God,
though?
No.
Clearly not.
Speaking of trophy rooms and going back to the Bathurst for a second, shout out to Declan Fraser. He's a co-driver for Andre Heimgardner. As the top 10 shootout was going on the Saturday night, his house burnt down.
Oh, my God. Are you
kidding? Yeah, in Gold Coast. Lost all his memorabilia, all his trophies.
Oh, fuck, that sucks.
All he had was the clothes that he had for the trip. So shout out to him. And he was there on Sunday smiling on the grid going, fuck, there's nothing I can do, you know. So shout out to him, and hopefully he fucking gets an insurance payout or something.
Yeah, but you don't get that stuff back. That happened to our mate Cam Donald.
Mm.
He lost a lot of his trophies, and I think the Rizla Suzuki race fairings and shit in his fire. Man, fuck, that sucks.
Yeah, so his dad reached out to V8 Supercars, try to get some, because he won the Super 2 championship, I believe. So they're
going
to try to get a replica trophy back for him and stuff like that. So
that's cool.
But all these kids' trophies and stuff.
Fucking spin on.
Far out. Yeah.
But it was on the news and everything, so just shout out to him. Declan Fraser. Hope all the best, mate. It'd be terrible, wouldn't it, coming home to a fucking burnt house? Jeez, you couldn't think of anything worse.
That'd suck.
Mm.
All right. At Matt Stevens, which rider is most likely to be spotted at Revs upstairs after race on Sunday?
Jorge Martin.
Jorge Martin.
Pretty easy one, I think.
I think buddy Jack Miller might be, you know, a bit of a gum muncher back in the day, but family man.
We've heard a few stories from
bro.
We're out at night, one of the nights.
Yeah, it was like
2 a.m. before the race, Saturday night, and I looked and it was Jack Miller was on the dance floor. Yeah, that's up awesome. In the pub.
I said, "That's Jack Miller," and you're like, "No way."
I think Martin for sure.
Yeah, Martin for sure.
Oh, I reckon Pedro would have a bit of a crack.
Pedro Acosta.
Yeah, I reckon he'd be good.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
He'll get asked for ID, I reckon.
Definitely. Alonso Lopez?
Yeah.
He'd be very good.
David Alonso. Is he old enough?
Colombian, but dumb man.
Colombian. Okay, Colombian. Half Spanish, half Colombian.
His dad's Spanish.
Dad's Spanish. Half. So that's no wonder he's a good motorbike rider. I knew there was some Spanish there.
Debunked.
He looks Spanish, doesn't he?
Nah, they all look the same.
They all speak the same language. They're
all brown and small.
Chocolate.
What a beautiful jacket, man.
That was a good accent. This is a hot take. At @L_Zanio, Coda is the worst track/GP on the calendar.
No.
I've come to like
same,
Coda.
So Coda's,
it's a long lap, but it's why doesn't he like it?
Doesn't say, bruh.
That's why it's a hot take. The worst track on the calendar.
Yeah, that's what he says. And GP. Jeez,
what is the worst track on the calendar?
Not Coda.
Sachsenring's a bit boring.
No, I like it though. That lives left-handers and their waterfall.
It's different.
I know you guys like Argentina, but I don't like that track.
I like Argentina.
It's just a wide, nothingy track.
I think it's Valencia is the worst track on the calendar.
The go-kart, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
The last corner saves it. That's always a lot. If that race was in the middle of the year, no one, it wouldn't be interesting.
Valencia is like an ugly chick and you wouldn't touch her, but she had massive tits. That last corner saves it, you know.
Nah, I still got standards, bro.
I agree.
It wouldn't date you much.
It's fun to play with, but like you wouldn't marry it, sort of thing.
At D Silver 87S, if Ducati kept Cheeseburger Lorenzo, he would have won a championship, maybe two. The double cheese.
Yeah, the double cheese. I don't know. Yeah, I think he would have won one for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But he's going up against Marquez. That's a hard fight.
It is a hard fight, but he had that edge where Dovi didn't, and that's what cost Dovi on arguably a much better bike than that Honda. Yeah. So I think that's a great call.
I like it.
I don't know about double cheese, but single cheese.
Single cheese at least.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree.
At 50_87, will current champs like Pecco, Fabio redefine the sport, or are they just riding on the wave of technology? which is, I think, is a really good hot
That's
take.
That's a great hot take because these guys have mastered the tech. They're actually
I would say Fabio was the last one. That Yamaha wasn't aero dominated.
Yes.
Where the Ducati was. I think, yeah, and we all appreciate Fabio's talent because of that.
You know, next year they're banning these ride height devices. I think that's going to be a very big thing for Ducati because that has been one of their big strong points.
100%.
So them getting rid of that, I think is going to bring this field closer in. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I think they're riding the wave for sure.
Yeah, so do I. So do I.
I don't think they'll redefine the way it is.
Because Fabio Quartararo is on a 12th place rider.
No.
No, but the other thing is, boys, it's just the Ducati's just changed it for everyone. The Ducati's so much better.
Yeah. So they're riding the wave of technology. I don't think Fabio is. And I don't think his title
was. But we all agree, Bagnaia's not the most talented rider on the grid.
Correct.
No, he's not. No.
So, and he's going to win the last three world championships. Yeah. So. Wow.
Unless Martin does something.
Oh, he will. Yeah. Oh, he will. He will.
Hey, Curdy. At It's Cold Papa, what is Curdy's favorite MotoGP? And let's just say MotoGP track.
We get him on the couch or?
Nah, I was hearing from you. Oh, you can come on for a sec.
Don't rush.
Yeah, we got time.
Oh, this is unveiling.
Now I'm going to look this way.
He's out of the shot. That's how he wants to be.
Fuck. So was it favorite MotoGP?
Yeah, track.
Oh, favorite track.
And I got one more for you. No, I don't. Sorry, I thought I did.
Oh, it'd always be Mugello.
Oh, yeah, you went Mugello. There, didn't you?
I went there. The atmosphere is amazing. Track's nice.
Is this Rossi or post-Rossi?
Before and post. And Rossi, when he was there, it was great.
Yeah. Oh, you've been twice?
I've been once.
Okay.
But I just love that track.
Yeah, gotcha.
Love that track. So.
Yeah. I like it. That's a good answer, mate. It's a good buddy GP.
It's when everything goes silly. So.
Whoa,
Jesus.
Whoa, what's going on, Gertie? What have you been doing in the tents there?
Hey, I made a few words.
I'm going to leave it as is.
Yeah.
A couple of internationales.
You know what I'm saying?
How are you probably Daniel's on? Cousin. could be married into the family, Daniel.
Yeah. I'll have a bit more about it
than
all.
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
Thanks, Curdy.
Is that it?
Yep.
Yeah, thanks, Curdy. Yeah.
Thanks, mate.
Get back to your bunker, Curdy.
Back in the cage.
Good to have you down this weekend, mate.
Yeah, it's nice. It's very nice, actually.
He's a bit up in the air. He wasn't sure if he was coming the whole week.
What?
Oh, goodness.
If you ever want to meet a person that rolls off the punches more than anyone, it's fucking Curdy.
He's the best.
Yeah, he is the best.
His potty wouldn't be where it is without you, mate. Thumbs up, that's all we get.
Oh, poor guy, he's wrecked.
Yeah.
Yeah, why are you so tired?
Hey, Chich, you didn't run a marathon yesterday, seriously.
Were you up gaming all night again, were you? Yeah, you were.
Did you bring the Xbox down? Oh, what?
Oh.
We didn't bring the PlayStation down.
No, I brought the WOG cards, but.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
nice.
Oh, yeah, we'll get a bit of that going. Beautiful.
Again, it's called Papa. What position in 2025 would you say Pedro to be at? What position in 2025 would you say Pedro to be at, not to be classified as fraud watch, which I also thought was a
Pedro
really good
Pedro Acosta?
Yeah. So for Pedro not to be on fraud watch next year, what position does he have to be?
But he's nowhere near fraud watch. He's
next
first.
Year. Yeah, next
but,
year.
Yeah, I know, but like...
Okay, so if he's finishing 18th consistently next year...
Yeah, that's fraud watch.
Okay,
yeah.
So where's the line?
Yeah, outside the top 10.
No, outside the top 6.
I'm going to say outside the top 6. Yeah.
Really? So he finishes 8th in every race, you're calling him fraud?
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Ooh, that's harsh. He's his second year.
Yeah, but hold on. He's got massive wraps. It's Pedro Acosta.
The bike could be shit, though. It's depending on the bike. If the bike comes out and it's dog shit and the Ducati's made another step, which I don't see happening.
There's only three factory Ducatis next year as well.
So he's got to beat... he's got to beat all the factory Ducatis every race for him not to be fraud watch.
No.
No, he's just got to be in the top 6.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's got to beat every Ducati, next year not to be in fraud watch.
Yeah, there's six Ducatis. Yeah, Ducatis. But he's gonna he's consistently beating Ducatis.
I reckon seventh or eighth. I think he goes a harsh.
Nah, you're wrong.
I think you're wrong.
He's gonna beat every single Ducati.
Yeah,
next
but
year.
He's going up against old Ducatis. Remember, he's beating them now.
The old Ducati's an amazing bike.
Yeah, but look how much it progresses every year. That's right. The Honda was quicker than the Ducati last year.
You know, Binder's had more Sunday points than Acosta this year.
Yeah, but Acosta's also thrown it down the road.
Hey, it doesn't matter. You got to finish it, mate. That's what you boys always say.
Yeah, it's true.
To finish
Binder
first.
Binder has always had Binder has had more points than Acosta this Sunday race.
I don't know, but there's two races.
Shout out to a member of our community as well, because I wouldn't have picked that.
No, I wouldn't have either, to be fair.
Did you calculate the points on your time off?
No. No, I did not. But it's amazing. We go back to sprint races, though.
It changes the championship.
Oh, my God. No, massively. Like, Bagnolo would be out in the first
38 or 40 points in front.
And 2 years in a row, you know. Like, it's a big difference.
Yeah. Eight race wins for the year, but that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
What's the most? Oh, no. The most ever is like 15 or something, isn't it? Didn't someone with
race wins?
Yeah, didn't we talk about Rossi back in 03? He won like 15.
Yeah, no, we messed that up actually, to be cool. Oh. Public style. It was Honda's that year.
Oh, okay.
But he would have won a lot of them, obviously. Yeah, okay. It's probably like 10. Oh, yeah, I don't know. It'd be, Marquez and Doohan both won 10 in a row.
Yeah.
There's a record, and they would have won a couple top of that.
Yeah, 13 or something for the year.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to do that, so. You wouldn't think.
Two from underscore Derek Hall. First one, best hot take every week should win a sexy heaven cock ring. So I'll hit up Adrian and see how many we can give out.
Shout out.
Jesus.
bit awkward if it was a chick, but anyway.
I never know what they fucking classify themselves as these days. It could be a cat shitting in the fucking box or something like that.
Yeah, true. It could be a lamp.
Yeah.
I am a lamp.
I identify as a lamp.
Second one from him. World Superbikes should be more of a pipeline into MotoGP. Toprak, Gerloff, etc. would grow the sport.
Why don't they take the boys from Superbike? Why is it like damaged goods or something? What's the go? Like,
it's two different things. You're bought. Typically, you're bought up on different bikes for your junior careers. You're not bought up on prototypes.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. Like, they tried to get Toprak across and put him on that Yamaha. He wasn't even near Crutchlow. I don't think it was. So,
man, you know Superbike's calendar next year, it's an absolute joke.
It always is, though.
12 races.
For the
year. One in outside Europe. No, none in. Like, go to Sepang, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, you got to go to the Asian countries.
Go to Sepang.
Yeah.
Build the sport. Like, go to America. Do a race at Kota.
I'm telling you, they'll get supporters in Malaysia.
Yeah, 100%.
Or one of them Indonesian countries.
They did go there, but there was some dramas. I can't remember exactly what it was about.
They've been there before. I remember Superbikes.
Yeah, they went straight after here.
Yeah.
But there were some dramas with that. I can't remember exactly what it was, so I'm not even going to try and remember or guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird. I think it's more to do with that not being brought up on prototype bikes. But I mean, look, Gonzalez has come across. Huertas is coming across next year. There has been a little bit of crossover. So, I mean, Gerloff came and raced a few races, but he didn't light it up. And I love Garrett Gerloff. I'd love to see him
Johnny
in MotoGP.
But Johnny Ray performed really well in the MotoGP bike. I know different machinery back then, but
yeah, he had a fifth or sixth.
Yeah, so I just don't know. It's a good hot take because you just don't see that in the sport these days.
He was probably the one that needed to come across.
Yeah,
Johnny Ray.
Yeah, I reckon he'll forever. Well, we don't know what goes through their heads, but I think he would forget. You know, that'll be a regret going into the future for him, especially how he's going.
Well,
now.
They used to come over. Obviously, Bayliss and Edwards did. Tozlan did. But you know.
Yeah,
Bayliss and Edwards, I guess, were probably the two best ones.
Has anyone ever won a world championship?
Tozlan came across as well.
Yeah, he didn't do much.
He didn't do much.
Didn't do much at all.
Plus, the level coming up through the junior ranks is so high. How are you going to compete with these guys?
I know. And why would you take like a Johnny Ray when you can get like a David Alonso? You know, like
exactly
makes sense. Yeah,
and they know the tracks already as well. They're already on the calendar. Yeah. That's Java underscore. Who will actually win the championship? And will it be down to mistakes again in these final four races?
Yeah, I still think Bags is going to win it. I think the pressure's just too high on Martin.
Yeah, on Bags.
Yeah, makes the most sense. Yeah.
We're going to be more surprised if Martin wins than if
Pecco does.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
I think a lot of people might be in that same boat.
Yeah.
Next one at LA Earth 91. Oh, this is funny. Jack Miller will develop a slight Japanese accent in New Year. That's funny. Yeah. I like that. You're, LA Earth, you're winning the cock ring.
So just to give the viewers at home and the listeners at home that I was listening to an interview with Jack back 10 years ago, full Aussie bogan accent, and now he's like talks like me talking to a Chinese customer at the Kia dealership. Like, he's got the full accent going.
Yeah. He doesn't know which one he wants to
be. He doesn't know where he wants to be, and I think it's affecting his riding. I think it is.
I think it is. More than that, man.
Yeah, need some more wet weather.
At Valentino Marks 46. You right there, Mark?
Yeah, just in the old meat and two veg, you know what I'm saying?
Oops. Hey, good for the listeners.
Sorry.
Martin will not finish in the top five next season. Ducatis are still too strong and KTM will be better.
Yeah, it's probably not a bad shout.
I'm going to say Martin will finish in the top
five. We'll see about this ride height though. Let's see with Ducati, because that is their, you know, that's their
bread and butter.
At It's Cold Papa. Sorry, Curdy, this one's the next one for you. Just wanted to say, let Curdy know he's the GOAT. he got a nod.
Yeah.
You got a nod. At Braden_Hardcastle, Alex Rins retires at the end of 2025 and Yamaha sign a Moto2 star.
I like it.
I think
that's probably the play.
Yeah.
Could it be David Alonso?
Rins to a World Superbikes? Would be a good get.
Ooh, I would love to see that. And I think Alex Rins would be keen on something like that. Or a test riding role.
The graveyard of MotoGP.
Yeah.
Something my barber said to me. Heart_Melbourne, Pecco and Martin are no aliens. Both would get slapped by VR, Peak, Mark Marquez, Casey and Cheesy.
I think that's just more of a statement than a hot take. I think everyone would have to agree on that.
At the moment, yeah. The only thing I could say is Martin, his one lap pace is pretty bloody good.
Yeah.
And to defend Pecco, he's ice cold. One of the most ice cold riders I think I've seen. He can make the move when he makes the move. I know he's made mistakes.
Yeah, but you're talking prime.
Yeah,
everyone else. He's not it's different. Beat him. It's different ball game. The mind game that he'll break.
I'm trying to be devil's advocate. Again, same person. Heart_Melbourne. Rookies will never achieve what Marc Marquez did in their first season. Electronic and tyres play too much of a big role.
Yeah, it's a great call. That's an unbelievably good call.
Yeah.
That'll never happen again because it takes too long to learn the bike. And that's what was crazy about Acosta in that first race. Did he get on the pod? Did he finish top five or something?
Yeah, he was running second or third for a bit.
I think that's when we know you've seen talent.
Mm.
Like,
that's why anything under six is fraud watch.
That's right. Yeah, well, we'll see. That's harsh, but... but yeah, he's a one in every 10 years. And we've talked about that. We've got the Rossi, we've got the Marquez, and now we have the Acosta era.
Yeah.
And then next we'll see. Maybe David Alonso.
Yep. I like it. Willie_Nels. Who will be the other supercars team to venture over to Toyota? Presume satellite style team. Any other manufacturers, Tom, you think could go into VM supercars?
Oh, another manufacturer, or who will the other team run the Supra? Is that what he's saying?
Who will be the other supercars team to venture? Oh, yeah, venture over to Toyota. Sorry,
Maybe the Penrite team. They're the old Rick Kelly Racing.
Oh yeah,
That would be a good fit for them.
Yeah,
I think that would be a cool livery as well. The Penrite with the depends. It's all money, bro. It's all the other thing with that sport with sponsorship. It's all about who you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy where these guys leave teams and the sponsor follows them. It's all like, they're all mates, you know? It's all like that Peter Adderton who owns Boost Mobile. He is best mates with Kostecki. So Kostecki said, I'm out of here. He left the team. Now Kostecki's going to DJ. I bet you we'll see a Boost Mobile DJR team next year. It's all about money and sponsorships. Yeah, So it's very political.
Yeah, definitely.
Like all motorsport is.
Yeah, I was going to say typical anyway.
Yeah, but it's just one of those sports that they just build relationships over the years. So,
@_Jack_Harney, once Miller's gone, there won't be an Australian on the MotoGP bike full time for 5+ years.
It's harsh. It's very harsh. I think Rules don't show enough this year that he's got some real talent, but it depends on how he can handle the bigger bikes and stuff. We'll see. Senna, I think it's hard. I mean, he's already been on that Moto2 bike for a couple of years, a very similar bike.
Yeah.
He's had some really good results, but he hasn't got a podium. He hasn't, you know, shown.
Takes a while to get yourself.
Yeah,
into
we always embedded. Say that Moto2.
Yeah. But in saying that, let's see. It's always the second year.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
why you guys are saying Acosta top six, because second year is when they learn everything the first year.
That's right.
They should come back the second year.
And they got the data there ready
and,
to go.
And know all the tracks. And obviously they already know the tracks anyway, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's not out of the realms of possibility that
yeah.
call.
Yeah. There's been a few scenarios over the years, there's probably more F1, where they have a really good first year and then they sort of dull the second year.
Yeah.
They're expecting more, they crash more, that sort of thing. And then that third year is where they really fly, but we'll see.
It's a good point.
That has happened in history as well.
Definitely. At Zeely, what's your favorite MotoGP rider merch? Vermeulen Rizzler bucket hat was a banger.
Yeah, that was that. It was like frayed.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was cool.
Mine was definitely and still is the quarter zip Repsol. I still rock that, yeah, that going to Audis good. For shopping.
I like the. I used to have an LCR jacket that had a gold plate on the bottom of it. Do you remember that jacket?
Yeah,
that was fucking cool as, and it was white, red, and black.
That's cool.
And it had a gold plate that had like I don't even know what it just said LCR, and then the two motor GP riders' names. It was like a full gold. It looked cool as.
You used to send me a couple of photos of some of the ladies you used to conquer with on a Tech 3 jacket on morning.
That was my thing. I used to dress the ladies up in the MotoGP merch when after I took them out for dinner and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Daniel, what about you?
You could be next.
You could be shaved.
Yeah.
Favorite that's tough, man. Probably play it safe. Rossi, I got some of those anniversary championship tees.
Yeah, got them cheap as well.
I did. I was not paying $300 for them because I'm a tired ass.
Nah, that's just ridiculous, though.
$300
for a fucking t-shirt. Are they the ones that came out last year?
Yeah, I think we went to the shop and we're like, $300.
How much, what did you get them for?
I paid $80 for them.
How?
Motorsport Superstore.
Our buddy linked it to him.
Oh.
Yeah, James sent it to me.
Yeah, right.
So okay. I bought four of them and then one of the 2002 one was out of stock.
Yeah.
In the two sizes that would fit me, and I was like, look, I wanted to sort of get a size run.
Yeah, good find, boys. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I mean, re-releases of championship merch.
Yeah,
$300.
I remember Damo talking about them, and he was disgusting. Like saying how expensive they were. So.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. And Gas KDM, we had the stuff when we were working at the shop, like the tees and that, the dirt bike stuff. That was cool.
Yeah,
Gas, good color. The current color now I like, that red.
Yeah, that red.
Yeah, that's gone for next year though.
It is. But that merch, their merch is pretty sick, the Gas stuff.
I used to love the Tech 3 Yamaha Monster. Yeah, that was cool.
Mm. I like my old school Repsol jumper as well, a Doohan one.
People
would have seen that.
Is it say MotoGP or just in general, motorsport?
It says MotoGP.
Oh, all good.
Well, I was just going to say, special mention.
Red Bull.
Yeah.
Like just Red Bull F1.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah. It is classic. G. Ramon, there will be a wall in the factory Ducati box at some point in 2025.
Yeah.
Nah.
Don't see it happening.
Not wall.
I don't think Ducati will want it to happen.
Nah. Not a wall, but there's going to be some tension. I think we all agree on that. There's going to be some tension. Mm. But is Marquez a real arrogant type, though? Like, is he actually... Like, all the Rossi fans have marked him as, pardon the pun, as this, like, real... sort of conniving, snaky sort of character. Is he actually like that?
It's so hard to tell, isn't
it? He plays the game, man.
Yeah. He plays the game. He fucking copied Rossi.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
You know.
I think like behind closed doors he'll...
But again, you got to be...
Him and Alex would have a few laugh over some things.
You got to be ruthless, as we always talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
B_Rothberg, if you put all the MotoGP riders in the same F1 car, who would win? And drivers to bikes? Which is a good question.
Current?
Yeah.
Well, Pedro Acosta did that, the karting thing with Oscar Piastri for Quadlock.
That's right, yep.
And he put in a pretty good time. Obviously, karting versus an actual F1 car is two different things. That's tough, man. I don't know who's a good, like...
Yeah, it's really
I would have said Rossi. Driver. That would have been the easiest answer ever. Yeah, easiest
answer. Well, he was like 3 tenths off Schumacher's time when he tested the car.
Mm. Was that a Mugello?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was wild.
That's crazy. He nearly did it. So he nearly filled in for Massa when he had that accident in 09 maybe. He nearly filled in from the MotoGP.
Wouldn't
let him do it.
He was almost going to go, but he wanted to go straight to Ferrari.
Yeah, yeah, they wanted to put him in.
Feeder team.
Yeah.
They should have just signed him.
He should have done it.
Because they didn't win a championship for, you know, since 2007.
Like, imagine he crossed codes and did it.
John Surtees is the only person to do it. To do one both. Yeah. 500cc and Formula One title, I believe.
Mm. Yeah, that's wild. Doing it 2009, though. Fuck it, no.
Nah, that will never, ever happen. Because you need to be that big for that to even consider it.
Yeah, that's so right.
You've got to be like Rossi's spec to get a test to show that you could do it. Like, they're not giving Bagnaia a test.
Nah, no way.
You know, they're not giving any of those guys tests. Like, nah. They're not at that same category.
Marquez and Pedrosa drove the Toro Rossos back in the day.
Did they?
Yeah, for Red Bull. Yeah, but I couldn't tell you.
I was just going to stick with Pedro because of that karting thing.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen any of them put like any driving. So like I see Pecco repost some rally shit, but
Rossi and Hamilton swapped.
Yeah.
Bike. For Monster. Yeah. So Hamilton would be my pick on a bike.
Yeah, me too.
He's got a bike, mate. Like he's got two bike models or a bike model from MVP.
He wants to buy a MotoGP team. He's come out and
said. That'd be sick if he does.
Yeah, he wants to buy a team, which is the only team available would be. Who was it? Because obviously Trackhouse is the privately owned team. LCR, not sure. They said a team, but
Gresini.
Yeah, Gresini was. So Gresini. It was. Yeah, yeah, it was. Yep.
But yeah, Hamilton would be my pick. Oh, Danny Rick doesn't mind getting around. I've seen him on the little 110s and stuff. So he'd have to be half decent.
They'll all be good. Like you're all. If you're used to going fast, you're gonna be fine.
Yeah,
but it's too hard to know because we'll never see it. So
I guess we'll never know.
Yeah.
Sir_Lance_OC.
Orange County.
We kind of touched on it, but I don't think it is a hot take, but MotoGP rebranding is going to be shit.
Yeah, I got a bad feeling about it, to be honest. I reckon it's going to be boring as.
Like, when have we ever said, oh, that looks really good? Like, never.
It's really hard to. That's one of the hardest things
to get used to. It takes years to get used to it again.
Well, MotoGP's logo has virtually been the same since it came in 99 or 2000.
Mm, yeah, I haven't changed it much at all.
There's like a bit of font change. And the last one, It's Cold Papa.
Fuck, he's had a few tonight.
Yeah, this is a good one. When did you guys get into motorsports and who was your first GOAT growing up?
Michael Schumacher.
How old?
2002 was when I started watching F1. And like I used to wake up in the morning. My dad used to whisper in my ear, Michael Schumacher, to wake up. And we used to put it on the VHS, watch F1s until like probably like 05. And I think came to channel like I was could stay late enough to watch it. And then I started watching MotoGP as well because I met you.
Okay, there you go.
Yep. And I used to love Bathurst and V8s. You used to watch every V8 race.
Yeah.
Like Winton. That. I used to watch Winton back in the day.
It's a go-kart track.
But now, far out, it's hard to watch. But yeah, that's my first memory.
Brishali.
What was the question again?
When did you guys get into motorsports and who was your first GOAT growing up?
When I was a kid, Dad would come to the island every year and always bring back the T-shirts, like the Phillip Island one. And then I remember like growing up and helping him work on his bike and I fell asleep once on the handlebar.
No shit.
Yeah, I was sitting on the milk crate and he was like, oh, pass me whatever. And I was like, and I had the handlebar print on my forehead. So, yeah, grew up with it. Young as Rossi.
Yeah.
The GOAT for sure.
Yeah.
Bit of the shoe as well.
Yeah.
But Rossi by a mile.
I'm definitely similar to you. Used to go down to MotoGP with my old man, watch it when I was a kid. Loved it ever since I was, a real kid. I've got two is Rossi, always growing up watching him. Him, and the other is Travis Pastrana.
Yeah, nice.
Watching him when I was a kid because he was insane and all the freestyle motocross stuff, and like all the racing he did. probably one of the best natural athletes you're ever going to watch. Yeah. And crazy. And shout out, I reckon, Max Biaggi. He's probably the first rider I kind of really comprehended. And he was one of my first words I used to say as a kid. Max Miaggi when I was a kid. I couldn't pronounce feet. Yeah. So.
There you go.
Max Biaggi, shout out.
Yeah, that's sick, man. I love it.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's it, boys. We're here.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah,
big week.
Everyone, if you see us, say hello. Catch up over the next week. We want to hear from you. We want to build memories together. So come and say g'day.
Yeah, yep. We want to see some merch out and around the paddock. It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And 100%. When you're going over the bridge, please hold your breath because we're doing everything to make the weather good. I'm praying to all the gods. I'm praying to your individual god. I don't care which god it is. Just good weather.
Good weather.
I like it. If you before the bridge too, if you stop off on the left in that group of shops, there's a good little bakery that does like awesome pies and sausage rolls and that.
Wow, so there's a little tidbit. Beautiful. I love it.
You know?
That's Brishali approved, which is a harsh critic.
That was big Brishali approved.
Yeah. Big!
Couldn't fit into the race.
Love it. All right, boys. All right. Looking forward to it.
Enjoy the week, boys.
See you. Yep.